Now, over the last three or so weeks, we have been looking at what faith is all about. We've discovered that faith is not just some leap in the dark at some or other unfathomable or unreasonable thing, but rather that we've discovered that faith is actually trusting in a faithful God who can do what he said he would do, and as a result of this faith, has great power to be able to save us and to rescue us, even though we don't deserve it. This morning, I want to just very briefly chat about how we are to live a life of faith. And so I think it'll be good as we get into this, just to spend a moment in prayer to the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you for this great passage in Hebrews. And Lord, as we come this morning to have a look at a portion of this chapter, that you would just speak to us and encourage us and show us how we should live a life of faith. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, many people see faith as something that we do when we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that is correct. When we admit that we are sinners, when we accept the work that Jesus did for us on the cross, we have faith that what he has done will work and as work in our own life. But the problem is that many people see that as a once-off event. Yes, I put my faith in Jesus, and now we can carry on and do what we like in our own strength without having to trust in the Lord. Of course, if you're familiar with the Bible, you will know that the Bible portrays faith as something way bigger than just a one-off event that we do on the day that we give our life to the Lord. And hence our title this morning, A Life of Faith. Now, Hebrews 11 is probably one of the most well-known chapters in the book of Hebrews, a chapter that speaks about many, many different people from both the New and the Old Testament who lived faithful lives. I could have spoken about any of the characters within this chapter this morning, but because we've already touched on Abraham in one of our earlier talks, I thought it would be great to chat about Abraham again in this talk on living a life of faith. And so what is a life of faith all about? Well, I've got some, hopefully it'll work and they'll come up on the screen. What is faith all about? Well, faith should be part of our daily life. As I've mentioned, faith is not just a one-off event. It is to be something that is constantly filling our life, just like it was for Abraham. Just have a look at verses 8 and 9 for a moment there in chapter 11. Look what it says there. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place that he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, verse 9, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. You see, Abraham had already put his trust in God at some point before this. And God then says to Abraham, I want you to go to a place. Now pack up and go. We were chatting last night. We had a couple of friends around for a bribe. But actually, I'm thinking of the night before when we were around at a couple of other friends when we had another function on. And we were just chatting about the difference in people and how some people enjoy going on holiday and planning for months and months in advance and getting everything organized and packing the right clothes. And the people we were talking to were saying that they knew somebody who said, no, they can't stand planning for a holiday. They just want to be whisked off their feet and taken on holiday. And of course, the questions came in, well, what do you pack? What happens if you pack your bikini and you go into the Alps to ski? And all these different sorts of questions and comments were raised. But in a sense, is that not what faith is like? God said to Abraham, pack up your stuff and go. And Abraham didn't know where he was going. So I suppose he packed his swimming costume and his ski clothes just to be safe. But Abraham packed up. He went in faith to the place God was showing him. He even realized that it was as a stranger in a foreign country. So what does Abraham do? Does he say, well, Lord, I put my faith in you. I better find my GPS now and type in the coordinates and figure out where we're going and get all the directions and make sure that I've got... No. Abraham obeyed God. He packed up his stuff and he went. God was his GPS that directed him one step at a time. He trusted God. He accepted what God had said. God will give him the land. He trusted that and he went. But another interesting thing here is that Abraham didn't just sit back. When God said to him, Abraham, I'm going to give you a big land. Abraham didn't just sit back and say, oh, cool, lekker. Abraham went out and went to the land that God was going to give him. You see, his faith, Abraham's faith, didn't just stop when he'd accepted God. He trusted God and he let God lead him in every area of his life on a daily basis. In fact, if you go back to chapter 10 and verse 38 of Hebrews, we read there that faith is to be part of our daily life. Look what it says. Verse 38 says, but my righteous one will live by faith. You see, friends, faith is to be part of our daily life as a Christian. It means that no matter what situation I might find myself in, no matter what situation we as a church find ourselves in, we continue to trust in God and in what He has promised us in the beginning. It means that even though life is sometimes very, very hard, we are to trust in God and have faith in Him daily. In a sense, faith is to be part of our life as much as eating is part of our life. If you've ever had teenagers in your home or have a teenager in your home or are a teenager in your home, you will know that eating is like everything that happens. That is what faith is to be like. Faith is to be part of our life as breathing is part of our life. If we stop breathing, we stop living. If we stop eating, we die. And if we stop having faith, well, then really, we stop following the Lord and we die. You see, faith is to be part of what we do every day. But also, you'll notice there that faith is not just to be part of our ordinary life, but we are to enact what we believe. You see, that means that we actually need to do what God has asked us to do. So when God told Abraham, pack up your stuff and go, if Abraham had just continued to sit down and continued to live out his life, how would that have been faith? But Abraham acted upon what God had said to him. In his book on faith, Bryson Smith says that we are to actively obey what we believe. And this is where our lack of faith hits the road, or our faith hits the road. You see, Abraham could have just said, I believe you, God, and done nothing. Imagine if when God told Abraham to move to another house, another land, Abraham hadn't moved. what would that have said about Abraham's faith? Would have simply said, I don't trust you, God. I'm going to try things in my own way. But verse 8 and 9 again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Even his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob continued to live in that same faith, for neither of them had received the promised land, only a portion of it. Abraham enacted what he believed. In fact, Abraham obeyed God and believed God so much that in verses 17 and 18, where God tells Abraham, take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham does so. Even though God said to him, verse 18, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. You see, Abraham trusted God so much that he was willing to take his only son and sacrifice him because he said, I don't understand what God's up to, but I know God has promised me many descendants through this son. And so the reading here that we read, where was it in verse 19? Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So Abraham believed God. He trusted God even when God said to him, go and kill your son. Now, today God doesn't tell us to go and kill our children. But there are opportunities where God says to us, trust me. Do this, do that, go there, go that, speak to this person. And we are to trust God. If you and I believe that God will be with us wherever we are, if we are following the Lord Jesus Christ like we are, that even if I'm scared to go into an area where the Christian faith is attacked, what am I actually saying? I don't trust God. You see, faith is to be a daily thing. A thing that we act on and that we believe in. Faith that we fail to act on is in fact ineffective, lifeless. If I were to build you a chair, you would probably ask me, is it all right to sit on? And I would sit on it to demonstrate it. And I would show you, yes, you can have faith in this chair because this chair will support you. But if at some later stage you say, you know what, Dion made that chair, I don't trust it. You've lost your faith in that chair. Or me, maybe. I don't know. But you see, that's what our faith is about. I've got to trust God in everything. And if I've said I follow him, then I must follow him and I must trust him. The Apostle James said in chapter 2 and verse 18 of James's letter, but some will say, you have faith and I have deeds. James says, show me your faith without deeds. And I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But he says, you foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? See, I could say I trust the chair, but never try it out. Never actually entrust myself to it as I sit on it. Faith needs action. So we can tell people that we have faith in Jesus, but continue to live the life like we want to. We are actually saying to them, I don't really trust Jesus, although I want to give him my life. Can you see what this passage is showing us here and how faith is part of who we are? Perhaps by the same line, he's saying that if our faith is an active faith, then we believe in what Jesus has said. But if our faith is inactive, then what's the point of our faith? See, only faith that is worked out is true faith at all. All other so-called ideas of faith then are not biblical if we do not do what we say we believe. As a church, we have faith that God is going to do something big and wonderful within our community. That's great vision, great faith to have, knowing that God is going to speak to the people of this community. But how is that faith enacted out? By sitting here in church every Sunday and coming and putting on your smart clothes and coming to church? Or is our faith enacted saying we know God is going to do some great work as we go out into the community and engage people in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? As we spend time in prayer. If we don't trust God, we're not going to pray to Him. And so friends, spend time in prayer, praying that God would work in this community. Spend time in the community, speaking to those that you bump shoulders with, telling them about Jesus. See, it doesn't help just to have faith and then sit back and wait for God to do the work. We've actually got to go out and do it. God wants to use each and every one of us. There's some young people there. There's some old people here. And God wants every one of us to enact our faith in Him just like Abraham did. To go, even when we don't know where to. And to enact the faith that we claim to have. But there's one last element here about living a life of faith. You see, faith is not just about doing all these things, but it's about also looking to the future. At no point in Abraham's life did Abraham just believe in nothing. In our description of faith, in our first study that we looked at, we mentioned from Romans 4 and verse 21 that faith is being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He promised. In the Hebrews passage here, the writer starts off in verses 1 and 2, and he says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. You see, faith is trusting in the God who has saved us, not blindly, not doubtfully, but with hope. Not a hope as we often understand hope, I hope the weather will be good tomorrow, or I hope this happens, or I hope I get that for Christmas. But a hope that is based on truth, a hope that is based on fact, that something will happen. A hope that is wrapped up in the fact that God is faithful to do what He promised. We've seen this hope in Abraham as he offered up his son to God. Abraham's hope was not just some wishful thinking, but a genuine trust in God who had made a promise to him and was now enacting that promise. Friends, if you and I have faith in God, as many of you claim to, then we know that our future will be exactly as God planned and promised. Of course, ultimately, our future will be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And we need to trust in the Lord as we go about our daily life. God has not promised that because I follow Him, my life will suddenly all slot into place and everything will work out right. He has promised, though, that no matter what happens, I will be with Him in heaven one day. So just like the writer of Hebrews mentions that Abraham, although was about to kill his only son, knew that God could raise him to life again. Notice the interesting comment here in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. All these people were still living by faith when they died. In other words, not all of them had received the actual promise that God had given. God had promised a great land to Abraham and his family. It was only centuries later that the Israelites marched into the promised land. But Abraham and others before him and others after him knew that God had promised and trusted him. They continued to believe. They kept their eyes on the future. So how do we get through our struggles, our difficulties? How do we get through each day at work, at home? Well, we look to the future, don't we? We look to what God has promised, that God will be with us, that God will rescue us, that God has good in mind for those who follow Him. And we work through our events like that. I might be in a terrible situation, but God has some great good plan for my life in that situation. Therefore, I can work through it. So as we close off today, I think there's two elements that I just want to chat about. The first one, and this is the simple challenge. Some of you sitting here this morning have perhaps been challenged in your thinking of faith. Thinking that if I put my trust in Jesus, then I'm fine, and you can sit back and fold your arms. Well, if that's you, then you need to rethink your understanding of what true faith is. For as we have seen, unless we are acting on what we believe, we do not have faith in Jesus. You need to make sure that your faith is shown by what you do and how you look to the future and keep focused on Jesus. Perhaps, and speaking to some of you here this morning who don't know the Lord Jesus, you've never put your faith in Jesus. You've never trusted Him with your life. Well, friends, no amount of work is going to get you to have faith in God. You need to trust in what God has said. And as you do that, then obey what He says. But I'm sure for many of you this morning, you do have faith in the Lord Jesus. You do things to obey Him. But often when life sneaks around the corner, our focus is taken off the future. And for a moment, we forget our faith. Friends, the life of faith requires hard work. It requires vigilance. It requires diligence. So don't give up. Stay focused on the future and live your life daily as you obey God and do what He wants us to do. But friends, I think there's a second issue here. And this is that there is comfort within this passage. Many of us go through really hard times, maybe your health, maybe financially, maybe family related. Maybe you're just worried about the future of the country. Maybe it's work. But the great encouragement, the great comfort within this passage is that we have Jesus with us. We have a glorious future in the life of Christ as our lives are now filled with purpose and with hope. When we are truly in Christ and we live the life of faith, notice what God does. Verse 16 of chapter 11. God is not ashamed to call, or God is not ashamed to be called their God. Friends, we can have comfort, we can have confidence in the fact that when we live our lives in faith to the Lord, even when we don't understand what's happening, even when life is just really, really tough, we can have the confidence that our future is secure. The question is, friends, do you and I have that confidence, that comfort that the Lord gives us? Perhaps you want to come and chat to me after the service to find out more about that. But friends, let's take the comfort from this passage. Those of us that follow the Lord, those of us who don't, well, let's turn to the Lord. Let's trust Him. Let's have faith in Him every moment of every day. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just thank You for Your word this morning. And ask, Lord, that You would just help us to trust You in all that we do. We pray and thank You, Lord, that faith is not just some airy-fairy idea up in the sky, but that our faith is to be part of who we are, that we are to act upon our faith and to show that we truly believe in You by obeying You. But we thank You also, Lord, for the fact that our faith in You points us to the future where we will one day be with You. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us to live our lives in appreciation and honor of who You are. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.